from the front line, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, here we go. Bleed Blue Show, 2016 NBA Playoffs, first round update. This is the Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus at the Bleed Blue Show. Audio archives on iTunes, Podcast Republic. You tune in your Stitcher apps, and of course, bleedblueshow.com/podcast for all the past episodes as well. This is the exciting time of the 2016 NBA Playoffs. Got games currently in session. Miami right now handling Charlotte. You got Detroit versus Cleveland later on, Portland versus L.A., even the games the night before with Memphis and San Antonio, another blowout by the Spurs, and you also had a blowout by the Hawks over the Boston Celtics. And then, of course, if you add in the other series, the Warriors up 2-0 over the Houston Rockets. You have Dallas series tied 1-1 versus the Thunder. And then we'll see what it goes for the rest of the Western Conference with Portland and L.A. tonight, the Clippers, that is. Other than that, there's really no surprises on what's going on in the playoffs. I'm trying to enjoy some good basketball. I think the best game of the playoffs that I've seen thus far, you might throw in the Dallas-Oklahoma City game, too. That was a good game. But definitely that Saturday game, Boston and Atlanta. The way that Boston came back on the Hawks and made it a game and almost damn near pulled a miracle out of that. Isaiah Thomas was real gutless in that game. Him and Jay Crowder, Evan Turner did a good job. They did an excellent job as far as getting guys back into that game. So to me, that was probably the best game that I seen thus far in the playoffs. Other than that, most games have been a blowout. Absolutely. So, Chris. Chris, if you've been talking with the playoffs, get your thoughts on that. Bring on them. Let's see. Let's do it like this. There we go. Christopher, what's up? How you doing? Let's talk 2016 NBA playoffs.
Hey, well, let me tell you, I'm going to go one further. I think the playoffs are damn near boring. I really do. And I think you're spot on. That game you're talking about on Saturday, that was pretty good, but I also loved – I don't know why I just used that word. It was surprising to me that the Thunder did what they did on Monday with the Dallas Mavericks, man. I'm trying to scratch my head with that. You don't do that. You don't blow out a team and then turn back around and lay down and allow them to look good on your home court like that when you have home court advantage. You don't do that. I don't know what the heck's – where's the thinking process there? I don't know what was going on. I don't know whether they took them. I really don't know. I wanted to know mentally what was going on with the Thunder in that particular game on Monday. I don't get it.
That's hard.
Everything else, like you said, Steve, though, is pretty pedestrian, man. We knew what was going to happen with the Spurs Grizzlies series. We knew. I particularly knew that the Warriors were going to just are. I'm going to predict right now. They're going to walk past these next two games with the Rockets, too, as well. Besides, the Rockets have no place to play, I don't think, right now. But, you know, it's just – it's been pedestrian to me. I'm hearing that Detroit once again is giving Cleveland a hard-ass time. I'm loving that. That has to be a series.
Make it competitive.
That has to be competitive, exactly the same for Toronto and Indiana.
Indiana
well.
Pacers,
so
yep.
I appreciate – see, that's what I want. I want competitiveness. We got to have more – in fairness, we need more 106, 104 games, just like what happened with Oklahoma and Dallas. We need that to enjoy this playoff season, man, because what normally happens if you're a conditioned NBA fan is that if you know they're up by 36 with 10:46 left in the fourth quarter, you're going to tune it off, man. You're going to tune it off. Unless you are a hometown fan, you're going to tune that game off. And you're going to shut down. You're going to want something more exciting. So a bit later on, you're going to talk to people the next day, and they're going to say, did you see that dunk by XYZ? And you're going to go, man, I missed it because I had no interest after the third quarter, fourth quarter, whatever it is. And that's not good basketball to me. You know, I'm talking about basketball here. I'm talking about the NBA basketball. That just doesn't – if you've been watching the playoffs forever, you want to see – you know what to expect, and you want to see some fireworks. And I'm just not getting it, man. I'm just not getting it. I want that last-second shot. I want that pivotal play in the fourth that turned the game around. I want the missed free throw. I want the key steal. You know, I want that. You know, and I didn't see any of that stuff, man. I'm just sort of like watching something unfold. So I switched sports, actually, and I went to another sport. I went and checked out the Rangers last night.
Oh, you saw that. You saw that disaster.
I had come home.
You went from bad to worse.
I know. But you know what? I wanted to see. You know what it is? It's another thing, too. And I know Knickerbocker is going to add to this. The other thing is I wanted to see somebody I love, some team I represent and hold dear, do something in the playoff season. And so I was more geared to that than I was the NBA playoffs, which is, you know, they're pretty pedestrian right now for me as a fan. I'm speaking as a fan. I'm just not feeling the love, man. Sorry. I'm not getting it.
Yeah. Let's bring on the chief, the infamous Knickerbocker Ave, your source for the stream for our New York Knicks, keeping tabs of the NBA playoffs. Ave, what's going on? What's your thoughts on the 2016 NBA playoffs thus far, probably through round the first two games?
Steve, Chris, good evening. Steve, I wonder.
Good evening.
I have a question for you. Are you sick of me yet? This is our third night in a row talking.
No. It's all sports. You can't go wrong with that type of talk.
You know what? You're absolutely right because, I mean, luckily we have a topic at hand because if you give me 10 minutes to rant, I'd go bananas right now. But I'm going to stay on point. The NBA playoffs, I had no interest in it going into it, but I've been catching some highlights, and I did go back and forth between the Ranger game and some of the games that are going on last night. I'm kind of watching a couple of games, one of the games on right now, and it's exactly how Chris said it is kind of pedestrian. I mean, there's nothing that's really shocking to me. For the exception of the Oklahoma City Dallas game, Brandon Felton going for 22 points and 11 rebounds or something like that. But I mean, hey. That's what the playoffs are all about. It's about who's going to be that unsung hero. And in game two of that series, obviously it was Raymond Felton. But aside from that, I mean, there's nothing really glaring. I mean, I'm liking the fact that Detroit's given Cleveland a competitive series so far. Because anything to become a thwart into LeBron and his invincibility and his aura is only just going to either improve or just slice him either way in terms of, you know, godliness to, you know, he's more human. And I think that that's always a good thing. The Boston-Atlanta game that you were talking about, Steve, that was a very good game, very exciting. Aside from that, I mean, I'm not seeing anything that I didn't foresee. I mean, Golden State walking away with – they're probably sweeping Houston at this point. San Antonio, Memphis, I was hoping that'd be an exciting series, but it doesn't look like it's going to be like it has been in years past. In years past, Memphis and San Antonio would have some dogfights, and they just – it's not the same Grizzlies anymore. It's about time they think about dismantling and rebuilding that team. And then that's pretty much it. I mean, to Toronto, Indiana, I mean, okay. I mean, they're kind of exciting. I think that one has potential, to probably go long. But aside from that, I mean, it's pretty pedestrian. It's a great word that Chris said.
Hey, Chris, I got a question for you, though. Chris, I got a question for you. Because Ab kind of hit it on the point. I didn't really think about it, but I thought it was kind of an interesting point what he said. Going back to the Atlanta Boston, the first two games, like the close game it was on Saturday, and then you saw the blowout, but it was kind of almost the exact opposite of what happened in Dallas and Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
What game surprised you more? Is it the second game between Boston and Atlanta on the way they just went off to like a 24-3 start or something like that? Atlanta because Korver, he could not miss. He had a bad shooting game in game one, but turned it around in game two. Definitely did that. Or were you surprised more at the second game for Oklahoma City, Dallas, or the second game on how it played out for Atlanta and Boston?
I got to tell you, probably the second game of Atlanta and Boston, because they came out firing, and like you said, Korver looked like Curry. I mean, it was stupid. They were. I think it was 24-3, Steve. I think it was
24-3. Yeah, I watched a little bit of that,
And they scored seven. Celtics scored 7 points. That's that franchise, that storied NBA franchise. They scored 7 points in the first quarter, man. That's terrible. Now, second quarter they played a little bit better, but it wasn't lights out. They didn't have Avery Bradley. Didn't have the center Kelly Olynyk. I think his name was.
Yeah, Olynyk.
Yeah, but the thing is, and they couldn't buy a basket. But for some reason, they kept fighting, and they kept playing, and they wouldn't die. And I love the fact that they still had fight in them after such a miserable damn start. I love that. So that I'm actually answering it this way. That was my favorite game of so far of this playoffs, because I can see Isaiah – Thomas now is, I think he is let's just say a de facto leader of the Boston Celtics right now, okay?
Yes.
And I really believe that it's through his example we're going to see some. I think this is just I think this is the very very beginning of seeing them come back to form. I think they probably have a 4-year window here with this, but I think that they've got some really good things happening. And this was the beginning of that genesis, seeing him just yell at his teammates and just getting their grill and have that never say die kind of attitude. I really loved it. I mean, like, granted, the Hawks, you know, kept shutting them down every time they tried to make a run, you know, and they won by, 17 or whatever it was. But there was just some fight that I can't describe in the Boston Celtics that I really enjoyed. And let me, even though it's 2-0, hold on, because I think when this series, I think you might see a 2-2 tie here if this kind of grit continues. So hold on, because I think that's what's going to happen. So I was really surprised, Steve, at that game more than the Oklahoma game. The Oklahoma game just disappointed me, man. That's just what we used to call it back in Brooklyn was. They just bitched up, and that's what it looked like. So,
what happened with them though? Like, if both you guys can explain, I'll go back to Av first, and then Chris can explain. Like, what happened with Oklahoma? The way they lost. I mean, they almost won it with the tip in, but it was after the buzzer. But right. I mean, what happened from what they did to them on Saturday? As far as I think Rick Carlisle is an underrated coach, and I know he got them prepared, and hey, man, continue to fight. But what do you say on the Oklahoma City side of things, man? I thought this thing, they should have smoked them. Like, what's your thoughts on that? Go to Chris.
They simply did something that we as Knicks fans are used to. They just let the foot off the gas, and they just started coasting. And you know, they got sloppy, they got careless, they got a little bit, they start to feel themselves a little bit too much, and they let Dallas walk right on in. Because, I mean, if you saw the tale of the two games, in the first game you saw Oklahoma City playing that defense, they were cutting down lanes, they were not allowing anything to come into the paint. And in game two, right around the second half, they just let go of everything, and they were like, you know what? It's all right. And it's not all right. Now they're going back to Dallas with a 1-1 tie instead of a 2-0 lead. And they could it's possible to get upset. But I don't think they will, but that's exactly what it is. They just let their guard down way too much. They started to feel themselves. I mean, if anybody who was on social media saw the videos of, you know, them dancing around, and gallivanting and all that stuff. I mean, there's no time for that. This is the playoff time. This is where the games really freaking count. And, you know, if you want to be considered a serious contender for that NBA crown, you need to freaking Yes, you have that killer instinct from horn to horn, and if you don't have it, the other team will eventually. You give them an inch, you're taking a mile, and that's exactly what happened. Dallas came in and they were like, you know what, you ain't embarrassing us again. Fuck that, and they bitched
that's
up.
Right. That's right. I agree totally 100% with Av. Av, I gotta say two words. Are you ready to hear me, man?
Okay.
Raymond Felton.
Oh, Jesus. The Hamburglar strikes again.
I couldn't believe it.
22 points, 11 rebounds, and what, 6 assists? That dude almost had a triple-double on Russell Westbrook, of all people. In game 3 of that playoffs, he was the hero. He was a J.J. Barea. And J.J. Barea is on that team. That's what's scary.
Yeah. Hey, look, you gotta give it to Felton, man. I gotta give Raymond props on that. Man. I gotta give him a lot of props.
I mean, all jokes aside, Raymond Felton is a decent player. He had a bad run in New York, and he had a bad run in Portland. And you know, before that, he was decent in Charlotte. And the fact that he took the bull by the horns and took over that game single-handedly and got his teammates involved, that's exactly what a point guard is supposed to do. He's a veteran. He's been in this league long.
Exactly.
He's tasted playoff basketball, especially with that 54-win season with the Knicks. And he knows what needs to be done. He's got veterans. He's got guys who've been in the trenches. He's got guys that won the NBA championship. So he knows that, all right, I know who I can count on. So – And wherever we're lacking, I have to step it up. And since they're not taking me seriously, I'm going to make them take me seriously. So watch them make some Oklahoma City to make some adjustments in Game 3, because going into Dallas, it's going to be a madhouse. Especially now that Dallas is feeling themselves, but they're not going to be like Oklahoma City to start dancing around and doing all kinds of little arrangements and shit. They're gonna come out some swinging, and it's gonna be a dogfight. It's not gonna be as easy as Oklahoma City thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and he hit those two shots. I said, okay, because it could have been something different, man. That putback.
It could have been.
You know, that had to go. Who's that? Stephen Davis. I think was his name. He had to go. They had to go ahead and check that out, man.
Yeah, Adam.
Stephen Adams. So that was important. But you know what, Durant? What the hell? This guy. He could not buy a bucket. I've never seen him that bad before.
7 for 33.
I mean, wide open bricks, man. Wide open bricks. I don't know what the hell happened. They just, again, they fell apart like no one's business. I just didn't get the lack of enthusiasm on the Thunder's part there. It was just shocking, man. I don't know what to say. It was, I also have a feeling that maybe Mark Cuban got in their asses before that. Well, at least Rick Carlisle, anyway.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Let me see. Devin Harris had a halfway decent game. Petula had a decent game. Darren Williams had a halfway decent game.
But this team should not be in even – they should be – this team, this Dallas team is not all that good. Let's just crackle what it is. That's a miracle. What happened the other night. A miracle.
I know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They're professional NBA players. They don't have no – come on, Chris and Av. They have – this team is okay, but they should not be competing with Oklahoma City. I mean, any given night, you let down – like Av said, you let off the gas. You know, things like this happen. I think this got to wake them up. I'm talking about Oklahoma City. This got to wake them up.
But you got to think about it, Steve. In playoffs past, when you see situations like this, where you look at a team where like they're not that great, they kind of like backed into the playoffs, so to speak. You know, we've seen it happen in the playoffs time and time again. I mean, I think I remember what was it 1996 or 97 where the Orlando Magic, Penny Hardaway took that team by himself and won two games. And forced in game 5 against the Miami Heat that one year.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't supposed to, do anything, but it happened. The same thing can happen in this series just because they have those kind of players. They have Dirk Nowitzki, who could always be, always take over a game whenever he feels, he's up for it. They have veterans like JJ. They have Raymond Felton. They have all the pieces. They have a good coach. They can make this a series, but I think you're right. I think at the same time, Oklahoma City is just too potent to, you know, and hopefully professional enough to wake up, make adjustments, and take care of business in game three and four, because if they don't, they're in trouble. They do not want to, they don't want to be down in the series at any given point, because once they do, you give Dallas that one little inch, they're going to take it.
Yes, they are.
What goes unsaid is this throwing Wesley Matthews on Durant. Durant's not really going off like he can.
Yes. It did help. He hounded him a lot. You know, I mean, he didn't stop him from getting the shot off, but he hounded him. And also he talked to him, too. And there's an unwritten rule, you ain't supposed to talk to the superstar unless the superstar to superstar. Fuck that. Matthews talked to Durant, and I guess that threw Durant off a little bit. Now, I'm not going to go. Okay.
He got it. I'm sorry.
He did get in his head. But I have a feeling an adjustment is going to be made the rest of the series. So I'm not going to just jump for joy and pull out my flag right now.
No.
but that's shocking. And I hope that sent a message through their spine and also through Billy Donovan that, hey, man, you know, your team has to come out prepared next time. You don't blow out. It'll be all right if they had just won the game on Saturday, man. But they blew their asses out. And that should have set the stages for another halfway decent blowout this time, just like the Spurs did. Just like, the Warriors are another level. I know we're going to get to that, but, you know, just like that's what should happen. You're an elite team, and you should be able to continue to take the dagger and not only stab the goddamn animal, but twist it in their bodies, man. And they didn't do that. They nursed them back to health. So the damn animal can gore them to death. So here we are again, and let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens, Steve.
Speaking about the Warriors, I might as well discuss it. You know, they're up 2-0. I just get the funny feeling that maybe Houston could squeeze one out. It's really hard to make a case for that, but we've seen Houston look down in the dumps in the past couple of years, and they'll win a game here and there, but. How do you guys look at this series? I mean, a lot of people say this is going no more than five. I agree. But what happened on Tuesday without Steph, and they still was able to hold it down. What was your thoughts as far as what you see, Av, in the Golden State-Houston series? Right now, Golden State up 2-0 going back to Houston.
I don't see a lot of good body language out of the Houston Rockets. They don't look committed. They don't look like they're – like, not all the players are there to play. I think they're just there to just kind of mill it in. I mean, Dwight Howard, that's evident. But then you see some of the other players, they're not invested right now. And I think they're just basically there because they're told to. They know they're in a fight they can't win, and it shows. And I mean, even without Stephen Curry, you know, the Warriors took care of business. Is because the Warriors are not really. I mean, the Rockets are not just. They're just not there. I mean, maybe coming home, to a Rockets crowd in Houston, might light a fire in them, and maybe James Harden might come up with a brilliant performance, and carry the team to a 2-1 victory. But I don't see it. I just don't see it. Nobody looks enthused. Nobody looks motivated. They don't look invested. They don't look like they want to be there. So at this point, I'm looking at this as I know people are saying five. I'm saying it's a sweep.
Are you asking me to say? Are you going to actually ask me to comment on this?
Yeah, I definitely want your comment on it. Absolutely.
This series is over, man.
over in four or five.
It's done. It's done.
It's over.
That was their moment. Bickerstaff had a moment. That was their time to capitalize. They had the key player in the NBA out of the game, and the rest of the guys. Look. What's important to remember? This is all I got as a comment on right here. I don't know if the Rockets are going to be able to have a full house there either, man. By the way, that's another story. For the next game, but that's weird too. But because the flood there is incredible. It's incredible.
I know. Crazy situation.
But look at it like this. Look at it in a broader general sense. Your team has the reigning NBA MVP, who probably will repeat this year. He gets hurt in the first game, and so he's definitely out for the second game. You're on their home court. This is your chance to capitalize on his absence. The problem is everybody on that team stepped up. Every one of them. Everybody stepped up. Spates stepped up. Livingston stepped up. Iguodala stepped up. And you knew that Thompson and Green were going to show up. When Bogut steps up, you know they're going to – you know what, this is a foregone conclusion that this team is on some kind of crazy-ass run. Let me tell you something. I've been watching NBA, man, for over – you know what? It's going to come up on 50 years one day, man, about 4 years. And let me tell you something. The last time I seen – the first time – I'm not going to say the last time because there might have been others, but my most memorable one is when an MVP fell down, and this was in the finals. Of an NBA Finals. The MVP fell down. The MVP of the league fell down, hurt his hip, and he was playing against a big three, and the rest of the team stepped up collectively to smash the big three team. That was the New York Knicks against the Lakers. And that's when Dave DeBuscia, Bradley, Dick Barnett, and especially Clyde Frazier stepped the hell up because they had that kind of feel, that kind of team swagger that said, "Hey, never said die. You're not gonna take us out on our home court." And that's exactly how the Warriors looked the other night. Klay Thompson, the whole crew looked like they were totally. They didn't need Curry. They knew they were gonna whip that ass. They didn't have to do it by 35. They knew they were gonna get them. And there was nothing. And it frustrated the Rockets actually kind of early. You know, Josh Smith lost in the sauce. He didn't know what the hell was going on. Howard frustrated. Mm-hmm. It's bad enough that Harden can't play defense, but when you refuse to, that makes it even worse. You know what I mean? Beverly was trying. He was the only one trying to do anything. It was just really bad language. This team has no chemistry, and if you have no chemistry, you're trying to play against the defending champions, you're going to get your ass whipped, man. So that's pretty much my comment for that, Steve. This series is over.
They did keep it close a little bit in that fourth quarter, though. I'm talking about Houston. It was about halfway through that fourth quarter. It was still within striking range, 5 or 6 points. But that's a tall order to face, man. 48 minutes of basketball in Oakland to go against whether Steph played or not. I mean, Houston, they gave it. They did fight. I give them that.
Look at the names they have here. Steve, look, they've got Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza. Those are two of the best defensive players in the league right there. You got
okay.
Also got two other good defenders. When you got Reed. Beverly and Smith. You know they can score. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the problem is, Harden takes the ball midcourt. He dribbles. He holds on. He doesn't respect the clock. Mm-hmm. And while that's happening, he squared off on the left side. Everybody else sort of like gets tired, and you can see the body language. Knickerbocker Ave, you know what I'm talking about. It just drains out of them. It just drains out of them. And you can't win like that, man. You can't win like
what
that.
What other option do they have, though? Hold on, Chris. What other option does Houston have? Because when they were not doing that in game one, they got destroyed. I mean, Harden didn't even go to the free throw line in game one. They need Harden to do exactly what you did just to have a chance. I mean, what other options do they have?
Well, I tell you what, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall, and I would have loved to have heard Bickerstaff talk about the adjustments they have to make for game two. But wait a minute. Corey Brewer came out really, really fired up, and this is what I got to say. And yes, I'm picking on him. Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Okay? Wake the fuck up, okay? If anything, he should have had brass balls and went out there and led this team to some kind of victory. He knew what was at stake here.
It's not his character, though. That's not his thing, though.
Well, you know what?
It never has been his whole career, though. His whole career. He wasn't like that in Orlando. He definitely wasn't like that in L.A.
I'm the type of guy, I wouldn't give nobody $20 million to act like that. That's just me. But they don't have any other options.
That's not what they're paying him for. They're paying him for, you know, because of his name and because of you know, who he is, not of what he can really do. I mean, basically he's a bad carbon copy of Shaq, and that's really what it is, and that's all he's ever going to be. Unfortunately, that's all that they're really paying for. They brought him in there to fill up that arena, not necessarily to win, because they were there to win. They would have really thought long and hard before signing into that long term deal.
Knickerbocker asked, I was told when I was delivering papers as a little boy to just don't throw the goddamn paper in a lady's bush. Show her, she's an older lady, so have a little bit of, show a little bit of class. Put it on her mailbox, man. Put it on her mailbox so that way she'd appreciate the effort that you're giving her, and you may even get a tip out of it. And also, you don't treat your customers that way. That's what I know. And I'm sure as an ordained minister, he knows something about that. Okay? And his ass never, you're right, he never shows up. In fact, it scares him so much sometimes that he had to leave the Lakers when Kobe was his teammate because he couldn't handle that kind of spotlight. You're right. You're right. He also bitched a whole lot when he was down in Orlando. So, yeah, you're right. I you know what? I digress. He's just not the man. He's just not the man I thought he was, man. That's just terrible.
So in essence, this series is over for you, Chris. This is over in four, right?
Easily. Oh, this is done. This is done. On to the next.
same thing for you, right? It's over in four.
It's over right now. These two games are just a formality. These two games are just a formality. That's all it is. It's over now.
That episode is over now.
It's just over. It's over now. I got some other thoughts on some other series. Let's bring on Mike. What's up, Black? What's going on? Talking 2016 NBA playoffs. What's going on,
man? What's up, man? Y'all are right.
The incredible
Houston
Mike Black.
Done. Listen,
what's up,
in
Mike?
The first place, what's up? How y'all feeling? How dare anybody try to compare this guy with Shaq? Shaq got championships. Hello. this guy's a bum, man.
Notice how I said bad, ugly, carbon copy.
He's a bum.
He's a bum.
He's a bum. He's never going to – listen, the Knicks can't even use him. He's a bum. He's never won. He's never going to win. He's a bum.
Don't bring up the Knicks now, please.
No, he's a bum. This guy can help no team. Who can he help? Every team he goes to goes down. They don't get better. This guy's a bum. He's a bum. Can you hear that sound bite?
Right,
he's a bum.
In Spanish for you, for my Spanish people, él es basura, bro. He's basura.
Sí. La mierda.
La mierda. There you go.
La mierda. He's a bum.
Mike, real quick, get you up as far as the so Golden State Houston is over in four for you. Any thoughts on the series, and then we'll go back to what we were saying about the other series as well, and we'll move on. What's your thoughts on Houston going to
State? Yeah. My thoughts are this. You're just seeing how bad Houston is and how good Golden State is. I mean, and how wide that rift is. You know, Harden made his money with the move, but if you ask me, he should have never left OKC. I mean, come on. This guy left to make a star. He's a star, but, son, you're out of water right now. You know what I mean? And guess what? Where does this guy go from Houston? I mean, he can shoot, he can score, whatever, but where does he go now? Where does he go?
I have a question for all three of you guys.
Sure.
When during the last Olympics, when in England, when
in London, yeah,
Carmelo, LeBron, Chris Paul, D. Wade, and all of these guys were having their meetings about upholding the standards of America and showing out and representing your country and all of that, and showing pride in your ability. Where was James Harden at?
Fluffing that beard.
Wow.
That's a good point.
Wow. When he was playing defense. I think he was playing defense.
Okay.
I guess what? Who, the bellhop?
That's not a pretty much. His guard is locked up.
I got your point, Chris. I definitely get your point. That's a good question. To me, Harden is the type of player where he doesn't necessarily – he's not going to fire you up. I think that's the intangible you're looking for, that emotional energy.
That's
he's kind of a guy. He's your dude that he's your around-the-way basketball player from your local neighborhood who's nice, you know, southpaw player. He's just playing good, but as far as making your teammates better, he's just get out the way, like give the ball to Harden, and everybody moves out the way, and that's kind of counterproductive. It can only take your butt so far versus elite teams. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Hey guys, I got a question.
Sure.
Now people have questioned Allen Iverson's his fortitude, whatever. They ripped him on that practice thing. But, you know, I'd take Iverson any day of the week over Harden because he leaves it on the floor. Does Harden leave it on the floor?
Oh, man.
Does Harden leave it on the floor?
No.
Okay. So, you know what? Is Harden ever going to be Hall of Fame? Is he ever going to get the Hall of Fame?
I think he could. I mean,
he don't change.
The reason why I say that, Mike, because the NBA qualifications to make a Hall of Fame is real low. I mean, the players' grandmothers are making the Hall of Fame. Or at least
is Gilbert Arenas in the Hall of Fame? I want to say maybe Gilbert Arenas is probably a little better than Harden. So if Gilbert Arenas is not in, ever going to get in, there's your carbon copy.
I think he's more effective than Gilbert Arenas. For that stretch run, that stretch of play when he was on the Wizards, he was one of the most. I like Gilbert Arenas, but I don't think Harden to me is more impactful what he does on the Rockets than slightly. It's not overkill. Gilbert Arenas was a hell of a player for the Wizards when he was playing with Brandon Haywood. Who else was on that team? Jameson was on that team, I think.
Yeah.
Jameson. It's close. I know that's a nice little comparison. I like that. Harden.
Steve, what do you think about it? Now you just said something. So did Harden have better players around him than Gilbert Arenas had on Washington? I want to say no.
Clearly.
I want to say no.
Wait.
If Harden had better players, but they're not clearly better. No.
I don't know, man. Josh Smith is inconsistent. We just killed Dwight Howard. Ariza is a nice little role player. It's close. I don't think it's that much difference, honestly. It's similar. The rosters are similar to me. It's hard consistency.
Really close.
I kind of disagree a little bit because if you measure the overall success between the Rockets of now to the Wizards of then, I mean, it's night and day if you really think about it. I mean, the level of competition that the Rockets have to put up with in this Western Conference as opposed to what the Wizards had to deal with in that East, it's night and day. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's that equal as much as y'all saying.
Well, let's give Houston the props where they came back from the 3-1 deficit to beat the Clippers. Would the Wizards done the same? I don't think so. I don't know.
No. Without a doubt, no.
Right.
What do you guys think about the Detroit and Cleveland series right now? As far as that, I thought that was another good game, Chris, on Sunday afternoon.
You're gonna have to go to Avenue, fellas. I missed that game. I only saw the highlights, so I can't really. I don't feel right giving you a real assessment of it because I like to watch at least some of it, and I totally missed it. I totally missed the first game, and this is the game I wanted to see. But I do know one thing: it's too close to me, and that tells me. I also knew that Detroit would not come in there with their heads down. They've got a really nice nucleus of fellas on that squad that are ready for the next level. And Stan Van Gundy is a very underrated coach, too. So,
he is. Yes, he is.
So that's what it's closer than I expected. And I understand they're giving them some hell now. So, you know, I digress. So I'll give it to the fellas on this one.
Av, I'm going to get your thoughts, and we'll go to Mike after that. But thoughts on what happened in Game 1. It's currently right now in Game 2, where Detroit still holding their own versus Cleveland. To me, Av, it just seems like this is one of those series where Detroit looks good, and they did play well. They shot well. The ball movement was very good. But you just felt that Cleveland was going to find a way to win, and that's what happened on Sunday. And I think this is going to happen tonight.
Right.
What's your thought?
I think in Game 1, Detroit played 3.5 quarters of absolute great team defense, and that's it. And it was that one half of a quarter. An eighth of the game was pretty much lost because, you know, they just lost their focus, and of course, you know, some calls going Cleveland's way. That led to that victory. And Kevin Love getting 28 points, 13 rebounds. But, I mean, you kind of have to neutralize him, keep him up the boards. It's hard to do. But, I mean, if you box him out, I mean, if Drummond can just box him out just a little bit more, hey, it could be a completely different series. I think the series can probably go six because it'll be interesting to see how Cleveland reacts to being on the road. They haven't been a very great road team this season. So it'll be interesting to see how they react to being in Auburn Hills as opposed to being in the confines of Quicken Loans Arena. So I mean, this my final say they go five, but they can go six because Detroit is playing very good defense, and I'm loving what I'm seeing from, you know, just Detroit overall. And yes, I'm connecting the same thing. Stan Van Gundy is a very underrated head coach in this league.
Mm-hmm. Hey Mike, what's your thoughts on this series?
You know what, I think it's like, I think the talent is going to play itself into the series, and Detroit looks good now, but I think the further series goes, I think the class is going to separate. I think Cleveland's going to separate themselves, just like how teams separate themselves through the quarters. You can, you know, they can be close through the first, close through the second. And then in the third quarter, things kind of change. The momentum changes. They kind of get the lead in the fourth quarter. They kind of open it up. I think that's how the series is going to go. And I think that the class is just going to overwhelm Detroit down the stretch. So I don't know that it's going to go to full six. It may, but I don't know it's going to go to full.
Okay, so I have a question. Okay, so if this is the first round. If Detroit gives that kind of hell to the conference champion, you know, I mean, you know, if the Cleveland Cavaliers have to extend that much energy on the AC, okay, six games, how the hell are they going to look against whoever they have to see next time? The Indiana, Toronto, or whoever, I forgot who's up out of practice.
Well, the next round will be Atlanta, Boston. Now it's kind of weird that it's those two teams. Cause to me, let's say if it was, I pick Atlanta to beat Boston, and I think Cleveland has Atlanta number for whatever reason. It seems like every time those two teams play against each other, Cleveland has Atlanta's number.
Yeah.
But let's say, for instance, it was Boston. I think Boston has they're not scared of Cleveland. I see Boston always playing Cleveland tough. It seems like certain teams play certain teams more tougher than the other. But with that said, I think Cleveland gets past. If they get past Detroit, they'll definitely get past the next round in six. Just like they got past Atlanta last year. That was my thoughts. What about you guys, Av and Mike? Go ahead, Av.
Well, if Cleveland gets past, well, Cleveland will get past Detroit. That's the first thing. So we'll put that part of the bed. If it's Atlanta. Steve's absolutely right. Cleveland just matches up very well against Atlanta. They have their number. They know how to play, you know, hold their own. They dictate the pace and everything. If it's Boston, it gets a little bit more dicier and interesting. But at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, like Black B saying, the class will show out. Eventually, the inexperience that Boston has and the lack of talent that they have in comparison to Cleveland, Cleveland will walk out of there, you know, in five, six games. No problem. They'll be waiting for the conference championship for whoever they're waiting for, whether it be Miami or Toronto. And then that's when the real game starts. Because if it's Miami, I think that's going to be a real good series. If it's Toronto, which I highly doubt, but if it is Toronto, it'll be
it'll be a quick, painless, and let's just wait for the Warriors Cavs part two.
All right. Mike, what's your thoughts?
You know, listen, welcome to Eastern Conference basketball. You know what? It seems like every series that Cleveland's in is going to be a war. And they are it looks like they're trying to put guys away before they suffer another injury. I just think that Boston's a very good team. But like Steve said, it's almost like styles make fights, you know. You know, Boston plays real good against some guys, and then other guys have their numbers. It's not even a game. I don't understand what it is. And Boston's a good young team. I like them. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, I like that team, but for whatever reason, it's like they got a little – I'm not going to use a P word. I'm not going to say they got a little punk in them, but I'm just saying it seems like when it's time to get it on, they're not ready to get it on. You know, good. They play good all year, good record. They're right there in the East, but I think at the end of the day, the playoffs separates the men from the boys. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. It's men playing now, so you kind of got away. You out here, but you got to make it now. You got to. It's all hands on deck now. And guess what? You got to play bigger than you are.
That's right.
To play bigger than you are, because guess what?
I totally agree.
Who mm-hmm. plays just to win this series? There's another series after this one. So that's what you play for. You can't lose sight of what you're really playing for. And it seems like some of these teams are content just to be in the playoffs, and they don't last. You know, like the Washingtons. Or the, you know, you've seen it year in, year out. Teams that perennially go out in the first round. They play one series, done. So
right.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I can't call it. Off the top, I can't call it because I don't know who's going to show up with the game face and who's going to just, you know, play into that same old, you know, play into the same old role. You know what I mean? So I just got to sit back and I can't even call it. I can't even call it.
I like this team. I really do. I never thought I'd ever say that I like a Boston-based team at all. But but I really do. I like the fact that they're young, energetic, and they're full of promise. One of the reasons I have to vote against them here in any series going forward is I don't know Avery Bradley's status, and he means a lot too. You know,
yes, he does.
And that kind of hurts. But I got to tell you, going forward, just watch out. This team. Kind of looks like I don't know Oklahoma KC the OKC Thunder of 2006 2007. You can see something there that's interesting. You know the fan base is coming out and they're showing a little swagger on teams that are getting ready to bomb them out of the place, but they have some kind of fight in them. And you don't know exactly what it is. And before you know it, these guys are in the finals or something. They kind of remind me of that kind of thing. Well, and the Golden State Warriors were like that 3 years ago, you know, when Mark Jackson had them. So they have that thing about them I can't really explain, but it can only be – I appreciate the fact that they keep playing all four quarters. You know, you get a monster jam slammed on them. And while the dude is posing or whatever he is and the crowd is going crazy, they've already taken the ball out. They're already past half court. I love that shit, you know? So that's the kind of thing that's going to – like Black just said, you separate the men from the boys when you do things like that. And these guys are doing things like that. So I'm really liking the Celtics right now, man. Their future.
Yeah, all right, now – real quick, Miami's up 2-0. They beat Charlotte. They're up 2-0 on that series. And this is a series I thought this may have gone seven. Right now, Miami looks good, man. Charlotte looks like they don't even belong in the playoffs. If you get your quick thoughts on that, but I also want to focus also before we get off the Indiana-Toronto series. I like this series, man. This is a little interesting back and forth. Now, this is all about, I don't know how you guys look at it, but DeMar DeRozan is struggling in this series, man. I mean, this guy
He can't even shoot into the Lake Erie right now. He's got other guys stepping up, and Jonas Valanciunas he's had two monster games, especially on the boards versus Indiana. I don't think they have an answer for him. He's been injured a lot earlier this season, and he's come back and he's looked very strong. Kyle Lowry had a better bounce back game versus game one. Game one, he stunk, but he played well in game two. I got to give him that. But I want to go around. Now, Paul George is still doing his thing. I mean, he's getting a lot of points. He's a scoring machine. He really sealed the deal in game one. But now the series goes back to game three in Indiana. Now, what DeMar DeRozan are we going to see in game three? Because I think that is the key to whether they sustain success or they bow out. What's your thoughts, Av?
I'm not sure which DeMar DeRozan we're going to get. It'll be interesting if we get the one we've had all season. But luckily for Toronto, Valanciunas and Lowry have been holding up their own. They're getting a lot of great bench play. They should be able to withstand the storm in Indianapolis. But if DeMar DeRozan wakes up and has one of those games that he's capable of having, this is a very quick series. It's a 5-6 game series that won't even feel like it'll just be, you know, Toronto's just walking on by. But I mean, I'm a little disappointed that DeRozan's having such a hard time thus far, and George is making him look a pedestrian and mediocre at best so far in the first two games.
Mike, you got any thoughts on this series with Toronto and Indiana?
Yeah, I think it's more the same for DeRozan. I don't know what's in his head. I mean, this kid is a crazy talent, but he's off, dude. And I don't see him coming to life on enemy territory. I don't see that. I think Toronto was done. And I think they're done. If DeRozan can't plug in, now look, if DeRozan by some coincidence, by some miracle, happen to catch fire now and mm-hmm. they could do damage a couple of games, that would lift them huge when they got back home. But, man, I think they're done. I just think they're done. Mm. I think DeRozan, whatever's bugging him, is not going to stop bugging him going away. And I just think that they're done. I think the tank is empty. I think that I think he's having a problem. I don't think he's injured. I think it's something in his head. And I don't think that he can put it away.
Is he thinking about free agency?
I think they're done. Sir?
Do you think he's thinking about free agency already?
You know what? Who knows? He knows, but who else could know? But
true.
I would hate to think that he would be looking down that road. This is not boding well for his free agency. You know what I mean?
You usually want to
be a monster right about now and mm-hmm. to fall into that big contract, but no. Going out there like this, no, he's cutting his paycheck in half.
That's right. Mm. Right. That's right. I mean, they were the Raptors bench saved that game. You know,
they sure did.
Corey Joseph and Patrick Patterson, man, they came out and they did a really good job, man. They really, really good job because they made, you know, they saved a lot more criticism of DeRozan. DeRozan, you guys are right, man. He's not injured. His head's jacked up. I don't know what's going on, but I know one thing for sure, and this is official. The Pacers got home court advantage going back to Indiana for game three tomorrow. Okay? If he don't show his ass up, that's right. Good night. Because there ain't no way that Paul George and them boys, and that's another thing, they haven't been able to stop Paul George. Okay? So there ain't no way. There ain't no way that Indiana's going to let this slip up. I know we've seen a very, very resurgent Toronto team this year, man. He won 50-some-odd games. You know, Lowry made the All-Star team. You know, the game was up there this year and all that kind of stuff, and everybody's rejuvenated because of this franchise. But, dude, it's got to be all hands on deck, just like the Warriors do, just like the Spurs do it. You can't play that way. You got to show up, man. This is the first series. And, man, you, and also you got a great team that you're playing. So get your head out your ass. Get your head out your ass. That's what's going to happen here. Something's up with him.
It's kind of sad.
And another thing. They couldn't. Toronto kept going to the free throw line. That's how they won that game. DeRozan couldn't make anything happen. They need him in order to going forward to win the series, and I don't see it happening, man.
They have some regular season success versus Indiana. They even went up there earlier this year and won too. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out Thursday and Saturday. And if DeRozan, like I said earlier, if he plays better, I think Toronto wins. But to Mike's point, it's really about how he plays, because I don't know if you're going to get that out of Patrick Patterson, Corey Joseph, Valanciunas. He raised his level of play too, but if DeMar DeRozan steps up. This series goes to six, man. I think Raptors could take this, but it also could go the other way if he doesn't step up. Indiana, the way Paul George is shooting the ball, it's going to be Indiana. Real quick, lastly, we've got the last series we're going to save because we've got a couple more minutes. And the Clippers and the Trailblazers. I don't really see this going too far, maybe no more than five. Av, if you have any thoughts, I thought the game on a couple of nights ago, the Clippers – oh, that was on Sunday night. It seemed like they had their way with the Trailblazers. It looked like the Trailblazers were overmatched the later the game got. What's your thoughts on that series?
I'll keep this short and sweet. L.A. held Portland's backcourt in check, and that's pretty much the key to Portland's to Portland's success. If their backcourt, if you got Lillard and their bench, if they can get off, then they're okay. But they're not going to. They're overmatched here. And this will go no more than five. I think Portland can squeeze out one game out of this whole series, and that's it.
Okay. My thoughts.
Same thing. I don't think you know what? I don't know if they would be how much better they would be if they still had Aldridge. Good young team, but again, they're like those first round wonders. You know, they get to the first round and pop their balloon pops. You know. I don't get it that they need more firepower. Like I said, they lost, 30 points a game when Aldridge left. They replaced him with Ed Davis, who's a good young player. But Ed's not going to give you more than 8-9 points a game. He can give you some rebounds. But they need firepower, dude, and they don't have it. And I don't know where they're going to get it from. And they're not going to get it now. It's too late in the series. It's too late. They're not going to get it now. So I think the Clippers are just going to steamroll them and look forward to the next opponent.
Before we go to Chris, Mike, real quick, what was your thoughts as far as Portland, me even making the 5-seed, losing 4 starters the way they did? I mean, that's still remarkable to me. I mean, how do you look at that?
Steve? How do I look at what?
Portland lost 4 starters, and they still made the 5-seed in the West. What's your thoughts as far as them getting this far?
I just think they gutted that, and big ups to them for gutting that. They do have a good young team. I mean, like I said, with Lillard and Davis, and they have a good young team. But dude, I mean, it is what it is. At the end of the day, it is what it is. You can't lose those kind of losses and still manage to sustain or even play better. It doesn't work like that. I mean, all those guys, I'm sure, were integral as far as their roles on that team, and you can't lose that and have bench players surge you. That's not how it works. I mean, you're playing your best players, and see, the playoffs are different. This is not the regular season. This is gut check time. You're playing the best teams, and you got to come with your best, and you can't be weak. You can't be short. Which means you can't have a little short bench. You got to what they say in the South, at a drag race, run what you brung, and you got to bring that. And if you don't bring it, you're gonna be sitting home watching the series with the rest of us.
Yeah, definitely. Chris, real quick, we're about to run out of time. Any final thoughts on this series as well?
Real quick. I think the Clippers are on to something here. Portland doesn't play well they're not a four out of five game or whatever this is kind of team,
And I'm just going to say that because I'm looking at the time as well. But, so I'm looking at the Clippers moving on, bro. I am.
Yeah, I still say Clippers in five, man. Shout-outs to Mike Black, the infamous Knickerbocker Ave, your source for the streets for our New York Knicks, Chris and Steve. This is the Bleed Blue Show. Check out the audio archives on BleedBlueShow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, at the Bleed Blue Show. It's been a fun discussion. We'll have the update of the NBA playoffs next week. Other than that, Bleed Blue, enjoy the NBA.
Yes, 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 Bleed Blue.
Sangre Azul.
Sangre Azul.
Blue, brother.
Can you dig it?
No.
Can you dig it?
Sangre Azul.
Okay, man.
Can you dig it?
All right, I dig it, I dig it, I dig it.
Blue?
Bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue,
bleed blue.